You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Now, when you read the last verse of the previous chapter, which is Deuteronomy 31 and 30, you will learn that Moses, first of all, is speaking to all of the assembly of Israel. And this is important. He's speaking to all the assembly. And what we need to learn here is that when God gives a word, young people, it's for everybody. God's word is just not for grandmama and them. It's for all the assembly. It's going to be something in the word that you need to grasp that's going to help young people and young adults to be better. Secondly, Moses was speaking to all of the assembly, and he started to use the lyrics of a song to convey a message. That's what the verse says. He spoke to them based upon the words of a song that he had written. And this backs up something I've been teaching y'all for years. You have to be careful about the music that you listen to. Because every song is going to have a message that it is promoting or inspiring you to do. You can't or shouldn't be the type of parent or young person or young adult that is just hypnotized by the beat. It's just like this morning how God led me to explain the meaning of hallelujah and Yahweh. We just don't need to be saying stuff and don't have any idea of what we are talking about. We need to worship him with understanding. And when I was in the world, when I wasn't saved, I just used to like the beat and I would rap along, but not really focusing on what I was saying. But you got to understand that music has a message. Yeah, it used to be this song back in your parents' day, and you hear it now. You can ring my bell. You can ring. You know, she's talking about sex. That's what she's talking about. You can ring my, look how y'all looking now. But I want to give you a more contemporary example. Something that you can probably relate to a little bit more. Recently, there was a singer that died by the name of Tina Turner. And though she was before many of your times, she had a movie made about her by Angela Bassett. And the name of the movie was What's Love Got to Do With It? How many are familiar with it by a show of hands? Actually, it was a very powerful movie, very entertaining. But nevertheless, unknowingly, her music has a message. Her popular song, What's Love Got to Do With It, sold over 2 million copies by itself. 2 million copies. And the same way Moses used lyrics to convey a message, music in our day does the same thing. Let me show y'all something. Y'all stay with me. What's Love Got to Do With It? This is the first verse and the hook. And listen to what she's talking about. You must understand how the touch of your hand makes my pulse react. It's only the thrill of boy meeting girl, opposites attract. It's physical, only logical. You must, here it is, try to ignore what it means more than that. And then she said, what's love got to do with it? What's love got to do? It's nothing but a secondhand emotion. What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? That's powerful. She is saying that love is only physical. Love has nothing to do with God. Love has nothing to do with keeping the commandments of God. You need to ignore everything else, she says, except the feeling. That's deceiving. That's demonic. It sounds good, but that is totally contrary to the scripture. And see, you and I have to, again, be careful. Because the Bible teaches us that God is love. And if we love God, we're going to keep his commandments. No greater love has a man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. That's love. But here she is saying, ignore all that. You just focus on the feeling. How many are understanding? Words or lyrics from music is powerful. It's powerful. And so I'm proving the point that there is nothing new under the sun. And so Moses begins to speak to the congregation again based upon some lyrics from a song that he wrote. And in this one verse of Deuteronomy 32 and 18, the text reveals that Israel at one time had got in a bad mental place in their walk with God. He's reciting these lyrics, and in verse 18, he starts talking about how God's people had got in a bad place mentally. Have you ever been in a bad place mentally before? How you think, how you perceive, the choices that you make. I better ask that again. Have you ever got in a bad place mentally? And if you keep living, young folk, you're going to have to learn how to deal with those particular seasons of your life. If you ever find yourself in an unproductive, sinful, or bad mental position, get in God's word and do something about it. Just don't stay in a confused mental state, because God is not the author of confusion. You've got to do something about what's going on in your mind. You got to get in that word, and you got to learn how to meditate on that word. Hide that word in your heart. You got to get in that word and do something so you can keep moving forward and you can focus and enjoy life. Can I get a loud amen? Yeah. Don't you get in that place, young people, and just sit there and die. Don't just do nothing. Don't just focus on what's making you depressed. Don't just focus on what's making you unhappy. Don't focus on what makes you mad. Don't focus on what causes you to have low self-esteem. No, don't just sit there and do nothing. You got to fight sometime. You got to get up and move sometime. Oh, look how y'all looking. You just don't need to sulk in misery. You got to fight misery. And I'm telling you, young folk, depression and other enemies will attack you while you're young. You're not off limits. I said you're not off limits. In 2 Kings 7 and 3, there were four lepers, and they were having a conversation. They just said, man, why should we just sit here and die? And the Bible said they arose and went on to do something. Don't just stay in that bad place. Don't just try to deal with it on your own. Allow God to help you with those cares. Number two, when you find yourself in a place like that, that's the time you got to start crying out. You got to be to the point that when you're in a bad mental place, you got to say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your strength. Lord, I need your peace. I need you to look on me, Lord. I need you to help me because I'm thinking in ways that I should not be thinking. I'm dreaming about stuff that I should not be dreaming about. I'm considering things that I should not be considering. And see, understand something, young people. We serve a God that hears the cries of the righteous. It does not matter if you're 11, if you're 21, or if you're 31. God will hear your cry. Case in point, blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10, 46 and 47. He was to the point in Jericho where he was sitting by the roadside begging, but he heard that Jesus was coming his way. And you know what he began to do? He began to cry out. He didn't stay in the same place that he was. And he cried out, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And that's what we have to do. Man, I've been through some things this year in my mind, and I've just had to ask God, you got to help me. You got to bring some things back to my remembrance. These cold showers ain't helping. Watching TV programs to get my mind ain't helping. Sometimes staying busy, it ain't helping. Lord, I need your help. And how many know we should look to the hills from which come our help? And our God is a very present help, young people, in the time of trouble. Whenever you need him, he'll be right there. So don't stay in a bad mental place. And sure enough, don't talk to the wrong folk. Because sometimes you can talk to the wrong folk and they can make it worse. But get in his word and remember that your God is the God that will restore you, refresh you, revive you, and redeem you. That's the type of God that we serve. He'll allow us to suffer, but then he'll allow us to reign with him. And you got to be to the point to where you say, Lord, I'm going through in my mind, but I know you're going to help me. I know you're going to give me some peace. I know you're going to give me exactly what I need so I can continue to be the person that you desire me to be. Our God is a resurrector. Yes, he will refresh you. Somebody shout, Jesus is the resurrection. That's why when you get in a bad mental place, you just got to pray to him. You got to talk to him. You got to ask him to help you and don't just keep it all bottled up on the inside. Because you got some of us in here, you like to try to handle things on your own. An introvert, I don't want to talk to nobody, but it comes a time where you got to let God know about them cares. Because if not, you're going to be unhealthy physically, spiritually, and mentally. Are you understanding? And so let's look at how Israel was at this particular time. Because I want to show you that mentally, they were off. They were messed up because they did not give attention to their mind. They didn't make sure that they had the mind of Christ. And so God has been training us, young people, you got to work on your mind. How many know he's been doing that all year long? Just been sending us message after message. You got to work on your mind. And so let's go back to our main text. Are y'all still with me? I'm pouring it out. Y'all soaking it up? All right, Deuteronomy 32, 18. Notice Israel. He says, of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful. What were they? They were what? They were unmindful of their rock. This is how mentally messed up they were. They were unmindful of their rock. Unmindful means they were going through something to where they stopped focusing on the will of God. Bottom line, they got distracted. And there are times in life, young people, you can get distracted. You can get distracted by how you're feeling, what you're going through, what other people are saying, what's happening to you. And Israel was unmindful of their rock, their safe place. The rock was their God. It was their refuge. How many have ever looked in your life and said, man, as long as I was in the will of God, I was straight. But time I got distracted by this, that, and the other, it's like my life just went in shambles. You can't forget where your strength comes from. And you can't allow yourself to be distracted, unmindful of your rock. You can't forget who delivered you. You can't forget about who raised you up and who has helped you time and time and time and time again. But sometimes you can forget, young people. You can get so distracted by various things where you forget about your rock. Here are some that God dealt with me about that young people have to deal with. These are some common distractions. Number one, ain't the devil. It's you. How many know we can mess ourselves up? Our heart, the Bible says, is deceitful. And sometimes you can get selfish and get your eyes off your rock. People in relationships can get you distracted. I said people and relationships can get you distracted. I have learned through personal experience and observations, it's best to work on yourself before you try to get in relationships with other folk. Because how you gonna maintain two relationships and you can't even get your own act together? And so many of us in here, we get easily distracted when them feelings start getting involved. Woo, I ain't gonna get too much help, but I know I'm telling the truth. Distractions in the church. Well, I like him, I like her, and all that's going on, and you don't even realize you ain't been praying the way you need to pray. You ain't been taking heed to the word the way you need to take heed to the word. People and distractions can mess your mind up. Your problems. This was one that messed me up and distracted me. Well, it hadn't even happened yet. It ain't even happened, but you just anxious or worried that something bad is gonna happen. Uncontrollable situations and demons. How many know demons will attack your mind? And so what was going on with Israel, they were so unmindful of their God that they began to walk in the flesh. And see, that's what happens. When you take your mind off of pleasing God, you're gonna start pleasing the desires of the flesh. The Bible teaches us, young people, the flesh and the spirit, they're contrary one to the other. So if I'm pleasing God, my flesh don't like it. But if I'm pleasing my flesh, God don't like it. And whoever is walking in the flesh, the Bible teaches they cannot please God. And that's what Israel was doing. When they stopped being mindful of the will of God, they started doing some crazy stuff. And I want you to look at your life this morning. When you get your mind off of pleasing God, I guarantee you, you start doing some crazy stuff. I got to show you what they were doing. Israel took the craziness to another level. Look at verse 16 and 17 of Deuteronomy 32. Are y'all still with me? Because I got a real quiet audience. You got to understand, your mind and your actions are connected. If you thinking crazy, guess how you going to act? Crazy. Look at Israel. Deuteronomy 32, 16 and 17. They provoked him, or God, to jealousy with foreign gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. Well, what did they do, Moses? They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know. To new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear or worship. They got into idolatry. And idolatry, young people, is when you worship a false god. And idolatry, according to Galatians 5, 19 and 20, is a work of the flesh. They started sacrificing to demons. Could you imagine, instead of bringing God his tithe and offering, they start taking those offerings to the strip club. Instead of giving God what was his, like time, now they're spending their time sinning, looking at stuff they ain't got no business looking at. They say, I ain't got time to pray, I ain't got time to get in the word, but got time to do foolishness on the phone. Yeah, they started getting in the flesh. They were so jacked up, the scripture says, that they bought up some new gods that their fathers didn't even worship. They were on some new stuff. They were just that messed up. But it started with their mind. If you and I don't keep our mind on Jesus, we're not going to be in perfect peace. We're going to be on that dumb stuff. Do y'all see it in Israel? But do you see it in your own personal life? You need to be able to say, you know what? When I do get my mind off of ministry, when I get my mind off of what's been preached, I go astray. Am I talking right? Be on that dumb stuff. That's a good indication that Israel was off. But then we see in the second part of the verse, Moses says that they had forgotten the God who fathered them. They forgot about the God who fathered them. Their mind is totally off worshiping God now. They're caught up. When it says or uses the word forgotten, in one sense, they started considering the things of God to be worthless. It don't mean that much to me no more. Now, God caused you or chose you to be on the praise team, as an example. But when your mind is not in the place it needs to be, you'll start looking at your assignment as not being important. It don't mean nothing. Yeah, you done forgot about God. He was using you, but now praise team don't mean much to you. It's worthless. Chose you to be the MC. Chose you to lead prayer. Chose you to be a minister or a helper in God's house. But now that you got a girlfriend or boyfriend, that don't mean much to you no more. You trying to get your swerve on. You know what I'm saying? That don't mean much. No more. And so we have to be careful. They forgot about the Almighty, the one who created them, the one who made them and fashioned them, the one who uniquely designed them. He don't matter. I know I was bought with a price. I know my hands belong to him, but you know what? Little dirt can have these hands. NBA Youngboy can have these hands. They make me move. They can have these hips. I know my body is the temple of the Lord, and I'm supposed to dance for him, but the latest rapper and celebrity, they can have it because what God got for me is worthless. It don't mean that much to me. They forgot about the God who, notice, fathered them. They forgot. Young people, you never need to forget how God has fathered you. Never. Help me teach it. Look at somebody eye to eye and say, don't ever forget how God has fathered you. Don't you ever forget. Don't get in such a bad place where you dismiss your heavenly Father. How bad can a person be to where they just write God off? How jacked up can a person be when they no longer pray? How messed up in the mind can a person be when they no longer want to be in the church that God told them to be? How off can a young person's mind be when they don't feel comfortable praising the Lord, but they feel more comfortable doing other things with their body? Somebody gonna get that praise. I said somebody is gonna get that praise. Never forget, young people, the God who fathered you. As I come to a close, being fathered suggests three things, especially when you're talking about our Heavenly Father. And this is so appropriate because the same traits that we see in our Heavenly Father, you should see in a natural father. We have fathers here today, and these are traits that should be in our lives. But then one day, some of the young women here, you're going to get married. You're going to choose a man. And you're going to be somebody, you're going to find your baby daddy. That's going to be your, your father of your children. And you need to look for certain qualities, certain traits. And I'm going to give you three that we see in our Heavenly Father, but you should also see in fathers here on earth. Number one, a father has many definitions, but one, a father shelters. Especially when it comes to our Heavenly Father, he shelters us. He divinely protects that which is his. You read scriptures like, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. That's God letting you know, them my children, them my folk. Don't you mess with them. Don't you mess with my folk and don't you mess with my preachers. Leave them alone, them my folk. And we see in the book of Acts, some folk was getting ready to mess with God's folk. And one man stood up in the council and he said, look, y'all, we need to be careful because we may be fighting against God. But understand, a father protects what's his. That's how God does us. It's my responsibility to protect what's mine. I got to protect my wife. When my sons were living with me, I had to protect them. And even though they don't live with me anymore, I still give them wisdom to help keep them safe. As a pastor over a flock, I don't let no foolishness go on in and out of here if I can help it. I have to protect the flock. I don't let any and everybody come talk to y'all. Because your soul is important. And we don't want you to pick up nothing that can mess you up. So I'm protective of God's folk. I preach the word a little hard on you because I love you. And I don't want you to jack your life up. That's fatherly love. Y'all go with me to Psalm 61. Y'all still with me? Don't forget, God shelters you. God has been protecting you, and God is protecting you. Even so much so, the devil knows it. Don't you know Satan himself told God, how can I touch Job and you got a hedge around him? You protecting him, and the devil told God and his stuff. Even the devil knows it. You got to know that when you are a child of God, God is protecting you. When I know my sons are going to be on the road, my wife is on the road, when people call me or text me and say, look, we traveling, I'm like, Lord, let your protection be with them. I don't know who driving. I don't know about the storm, but Lord, let your protection be with them. Shelter them so they can get where they're going and get back safely. Look at what Psalms 61 and 3 says. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong, what? Tower from the enemy. God, you've been a refuge. And young folk, let me tell you something. You got enemies, seen and unseen. You got seen and unseen enemies, but you need to have in your mind, God got me. We like to say God got my back, but that just ain't true. God got more than just our back. He got our front, he got our top, he got our sides, he got the diagonal spaces, he got the cracks. God will divinely protect his folk. But notice he describes them as a strong tower. Towers in scripture was where the people of God ran to when they was in battle, when they was going through things, because they knew God was their safe place. See, young people, when you go through things in life, you got to never forget, it's God I need to run to. He's the one that can help me when mama ain't here. He's the one that can help me when I can't get a hold of daddy or pastor. He's the one that can help me or shelter me. You need to always remember that, because sometimes you make dumb choices. And sometimes you don't realize it's a dumb choice until you get in it. I know I'm telling the truth. You make a choice, you stand on it, then you be like, oh, Lord, this wasn't no good choice. Lord, help me get up out of this. That's when you need to run to that tower. That's when you need God to shelter you. Lord, I need your help. I made a bad choice. Please protect me. How many are understanding? Your God fathers you by protecting you, sheltering you, and you should never take that for granted. I said, you should never take that for granted. If you were here yesterday, I said it publicly, but I told Brother Scotty, I told him personally, I said, man, it's obvious God protecting you and your family. Y'all have been through so much, but I can see God divinely protecting you. You ought to give God a hand clap for sheltering you throughout life. But don't take it for granted, young people. Don't take it for granted and forget how God protects you. Secondly, to father means to shepherd. They forgot about the God who shepherded him. Man, what does a shepherd do? A number of things. But primarily, a shepherd guides, feeds, and drives a flock forward. Don't you ever forget that. David said in Psalm 23 and 1, the Lord is my shepherd. My God is my shepherd. He's the one that guides me. Before you make decisions in life, you need to ask your heavenly Father. Don't just up and do something because you're feeling some type of way. Just because you disagree with somebody and you want to prove that you know what you're talking about, don't do that dumb stuff. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and your shepherd will direct your path. Sometimes, young people, you get to a place where you feel grown. You think you know a little something. And so you try to make grown folk choices, but you can't deal with grown folk consequences. And so you have to be to the point to where you don't forget how God can father you. He can shepherd you. He can show you what you should and should not do. And he'll deal with you directly or indirectly. And you need to be okay with that. You can be asking God, what can I do? What can I do? And he can be guiding you through your pastor. But then he can use your parent and they can drop some gems on you and give you guidance there. But then he could use somebody else maturing your life and you really hear what's being said and he guiding you there. But however God chooses to do it, don't you take that for granted. Because there are young people out here that are like sheep with no shepherd, no guidance, no counsel, no one to give them advice. They're like sheep without a shepherd, and the Bible says they're headed for the slaughter. About to be messed up. So when you have such a church where God speaks to you week in and week out, don't you take this for granted. I had a teacher come up to me about a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago, and they were explaining to me some of the things that was going on in some of the local schools. And they were just passionately telling me and looking in my eyes. They said, Pastor Baker, I really don't think our young people realize how blessed they are, because the school systems are allowing them to learn things that's contrary to God's word. But they got a place where they can come and hear the truth. They got a place where they can come and hear the will of God and put it in action. And she was just, her heart was just so broken about what was going on in some of the school system. And my prayer was like, well, I just hope our young people are soaking it up. I hope our young adults are soaking it up. Because you don't want to be out here in this world without your Heavenly Father's guidance. Am I right about it? One choice, young people. One choice can just drastically change your life. So you always need to remember Israel. I don't need to forget my God who fathers me. He shepherds me. He encourages me to grow, to move forward, and he just gives me knowledge and understanding week in and week out. Don't you ever forget how God done fathered you. Look at somebody and say, don't you forget. Finally, a father is one who supplies. And that's what our Heavenly Father does, as well as our natural fathers. Young brothers, one day you're going to be a man. You may have your own family. You're going to have to shelter your family. You're going to have to shepherd that family. And you're going to have to learn how to supply for that family. I said, you're going to have to learn how to supply, because that's what our God does. He supplies all of our needs according to his riches in glory. God makes sure that we have what we need as well as what we desire. Now, check this out. I'm getting ready to be done. But supply, young people, in one sense means to sustain. God going to make sure we have everything we need in life, clothes, food, peace, righteousness. He going to make sure we have things to sustain us. But supply, one of the meanings of supply also means to level up. God just not going to give you what you need. God going to make sure you level up. God is about growth. God is about abundance. God is about having more than enough. And so as long as we stay in the will of God, we're going to go from faith to faith, and God is just going to constantly cause us to level up. As long as we stay in the will of God, I can't stay on the same level forever. I may be on $5 level, but it's going to come a day I'm on $20 level. But then I get happy about $20 level. Then I'm going to find myself on $100 level. Y'all ain't getting happy. $100 level, then $500. Then $1,000. Y'all ain't hear me. I said level up. David said, my cup is just not filled, but it runs over. That sounds like a God that will level you up. But see, the enemy gets in so many young people's minds and has them think that the only way you can level up is by doing sinful things. No. God will supply your need. He will make sure that you are sustained, and he'll level you up. He'll get you to a place to where you're not only blessed, but now you can be a what? You can be a blessing. How many that's your desire? You not only want God to bless you, you want a what? Be a blessing. Wouldn't it be wonderful to come in here and hear that somebody want to go to college and you can pay for their first semester? You can just say, here's a check right here. Go and be productive. God bless you. Wouldn't it be wonderful for somebody to get a car and you can say, look, I want to pay your first month's note. I want to be a blessing. Wouldn't it be wonderful to God bless you where you can take somebody on a shopping spree? Woo, come on. I want you to go in this shoe store and pick out whatever you want. Whatever I want, whatever you want. It's not just about being blessed. It's about what? Being a blessing. And that's the type of God that we serve. Our Father will supply our needs. And they forgot that. They forgot that. We don't need to what? Forget it. We don't need to allow God to become forgotten in our personal lives and in a corporate sense. We don't need to forget our rock or be unmindful of our rock who begat us. And we don't need to forget our Father or our God who has fathered us. Would you agree? And what does it mean to father? It means to shelter, it means to shepherd, and it means to supply. Yeah, that's what a father does. And these are three examples. He shelters, he shepherds, and he supplies. How many thank God for your heavenly Father and for natural fathers? Even if your natural father is not fulfilling the role that he needs to be in your life, you still need to give God thanks, because you wouldn't be here if God didn't use him in a special way. Yeah, I said we need to give God thanks for our heavenly Father and for our natural fathers. Y'all got it? Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Don't you forget your